Welcome, everybody. This is How to English, Teach and Learn with Gavin M.
It's a podcast about teaching and learning English as a foreign language.
All opinions stated are personal and references will be given when necessary.
Latest trends, methodologies, new approaches, the coming together of similar minds. What am I describing, Em?
Magic.
Episode 12, conferences. It's the conference season, Em. If you haven't been to one this year already, what are you waiting for? Come on, sign up. There are so many to choose from.
Maybe I'm waiting for an invitation, but I shouldn't because there are so many out there. You don't even need an invitation. You just have to go online, put in EFL conference. It might even be online. I've attended a few online conferences. Very nice, very passive. You just sit there with your headphones in. You don't have to contribute if you don't want to.
But you still can, because you could type in the little box and say, hey, I've got some ideas too. Let's share.
Exactly, because you're in your own room. Nobody's got the camera on.
In your own pyjamas.
Exactly.
That's it. So whether you're in Belfast, Venice, Pittsburgh, online, there is a conference waiting for you.
But what about the real life, living, breathing, in the room with everyone together kind of conferences, Gav?
Well, that's why I want us to listen to James Taylor, the second vice president of BrasTESL, Teachers Association in Brazil, who's going to tell us about the BrasTESL 18th International Conference. And James is a leading voice also in the TEFL world. Now, Em, this is the second time we've featured James on our show.
I remember James. Is it James from Raise Up?
That's right. Season 1, episode 48, the book Raise Up. Do you remember what the students' books are all about, Em?
Yeah, very inclusive, engaging, diverse topics about people from different backgrounds and cultures. Really, really good resources.
That's it. It's a fantastic series of books. Definitely check them out. I'll put a link in the show notes for them. So tell us a little bit about the BrasTESL conference, Em?
So this is the perfect time to talk about the BrasTESL International Conference because it's taking place on July 13th to the 16th this year, 2022. So you can register for it now. It's in Sao Paulo. And if you're interested, you can become a member of the BrasTESL organization. On the website, there is a link to signing up for membership. Very, very reasonable prices. And it offers wonderful support for teachers and great opportunities.
Exactly. So let's have a listen to James tell us more about the conference.
Hi, my name is James Taylor, and I'm speaking to you today as the second vice president of BrasTESL, which is the teachers association based here in Brazil. I believe that we are one of the biggest national teaching associations in the world with about 1,400 members, and possibly one of the oldest as well, with about 35 years of history. We offer various benefits to our members, which include our quarterly magazine, BrasTESL Echoes, and we have around 25 SIGs, special interest groups, and local chapters, which are based in different cities and regions in Brazil. And what our members can do is, when they become a member of BrasTESL, is that they can now, this is a new initiative that we've just created, they can sign up to be a member of two of these special interest groups and one local chapter, which gives them the opportunity to get to know people who are interested in their subjects and people who live in their area. We have other member benefits as well, including regular events organised by these SIGs and chapters, which are freely available to any member. And every year we organise a massive international conference, which is open to anybody. And this year we will be returning to face-to-face events with an event in Sao Paulo in July. We can't wait to get back to seeing our members face to face. But I think what I'd really like to emphasize is that although we have these benefits that we think are really useful and important, One of the main benefits that we offer members is we create a sense of community within the country and in Latin America and the world. For anyone who wants to get involved with Braz Tesoro events, I think that it's a real sort of tangible benefit is the fact that you get to know your peers. And, you know, I think it's a real problem for many teachers in all over the world is the feeling a sense of isolation and not feeling connected to other people who are doing the same things as you. And I think that teaching associations are a fantastic way of bringing professionals together, whatever their area of interest, so that they can then develop and become better professionals as part of this teacher community. So I'm very proud of the fact that we offer that to our members here in Brazil. If you're not based in Brazil, then I would highly recommend you look out for the teaching association that is where you live and get involved. Speaking personally, it's been a huge benefit to my career and my professional development. But if you do want to know more about us here at Braz Tesoro, then you can check out our website, braztesoro.org.br, or you can look for us on social media. We're in the usual places. You can find us on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn. And we'd love to hear from you. Thanks for listening.
Thanks, James. I think that was really poignant that we are perhaps like silos when we teach, and then we go to these conferences and we can network, we can make connections and feel like we're part of something, which is a really, really nice thing.
Yes, me too. I felt as a TEFL teacher that I had to prepare all of my own materials, to find my own games and create activities that were new and exciting for my students, because I just couldn't find any materials. And then suddenly I went to a conference and it was there. There were teachers already prepared the materials. They were willing to share them with us. They were encouraging and motivated me to become part of this network. It's such an exciting thing. Teachers need to realize that there are plenty of other teachers around them. The same with students. You're surrounded by students. You just need to find those networks and become part of that organization. And Braz Tesoro is just one of many of these fabulous organizations that we can get involved with and really enjoy the benefits from.
You can meet different people at different conferences, and often you meet the same people. You do start to see faces that you recognise. But yeah, every conference has a different group of people there. So it's just a great way of expanding your network.
Do you remember Braz Tesoro Echoes? Does that sound familiar?
Was this Carolina Kuna?
It was.
She spoke to us about development and feeling overqualified.
That's right.
Was this season 3, episode 4?
And what was the title of that episode, Em?
Development.
And the reason we got in touch with Carolina is because she wrote an article in Braz Tesoro Echoes.
Yes.
And we were so inspired by her thoughts and ideas and the way that she'd written that we asked her to take part in our show. And it was a fantastic show. If you haven't heard this episode, go back, Development, episode 4, season 3.
Absolutely. Nice link there.
So again, there are so many benefits from being part of an organisation, a teaching association that will inspire you.
Let me tell you a bit more about the conference this year. I'm going to read it directly from their website. It's over 4 days with leading members of the Brazilian ELT community, and our international colleagues will come together to create a vision of the future in our field. The theme of the 18th Braz Tesoro International Conference is Building Bridges, Inspiring Learning, and it will also allow ELT professionals from within Brazil and guests from abroad to reflect on the importance of connecting their different areas of expertise to further the practice of language teaching and better equip professionals for the 21st century demands. The conference will foster 4 days of intense learning exchanges between participants and rich networking possibilities for all present at the event, taking place in the Mackenzie University, Sao Paulo, from July 13th to the 16th, 2022.
That's it. And that sounds so exciting. Building bridges, inspiring learning, and these are equipping professionals for the 21st century. Em, I need equipping for the 21st century because I have seen so many changes. Even within the time I've been teaching, I've seen such an evolution. I just need a bit more support, Em. And it's so exciting that this is a face-to-face conference that finally, after a couple of years of, let's just say, problems, that we can move forward and have these face-to-face experiences in person to enjoy meeting, networking, co-oping, everything.
Absolutely.
Em, have you got any information on some of the plenary speakers at the Braz Tessel conference?
Yes. Antonietta Megale will discuss bilingual education in Brazil. Ben Goldstein is going to talk about biodata. Carol Letheby is discussing teaching for success using what learners already know. Gabrielle Diaz will talk about collaborative scenarios and teacher growth. These are just some of many.
That sounds really interesting, especially that data one. I'd like to hear that.
Biodata.
So we'll put some links in the show notes. If you want to get in touch with them, it's braztessel@braztessel.org.br. Check out the show notes, take a look at the conference, and also consider membership with their organisation. Do you know what the difference is between a keynote speaker and a plenary speaker?
Nope.
Well, a keynote speaker's main purpose is to reiterate and drive home the meeting's main idea or theme in public speaking. The word keynote refers to the principal and underlying theme of a larger idea. Hence, why a keynote speaker's address usually relates to the reason or purpose behind a meeting. Whereas a plenary speaker is a speaker who is often from within an organisation of the same industry or related industry, as opposed to professional speakers or independent experts on the subject who is brought in to be a keynote speaker.
Okay, Gab. So the plenary speaker is someone working within the industry and a keynote speaker is a guest coming in from outside.
That's it, exactly. I didn't know the difference before.
I didn't. It's very good to know that.
So thanks info.wwsg.com for that very useful definition. So, of course, there are plenty of other conferences to check out this year. There still are plenty of events to visit. I'll put a link in for some future conferences available, but don't forget to just do your own research and pick one that you're interested in. So I thought we could talk about our own experiences at conferences, Em, because I'm sure you've been to plenty of them.
I have been to a few, some good, some not so good.
What was the driver? And I don't mean did you go by bus? But what was the motivation that took you to that conference?
Different things, I think, for different conferences. Some of them I was given a free ticket. So I went because why not? Others I felt like I really had.
Who gave you a free ticket?
Some of the places I worked for offered it to me.
So that was an incentive for working for that company.
Definitely, 100%. Yeah, so that was a bonus. Others, I went because I had gaps in my knowledge. For example, when the Cambridge exams changed in 2015, there were a lot of different things happening and I didn't know all the changes. So I went to a Cambridge exam conference.
That is very, very interesting. You must have got a lot of insights into the exam by attending that one.
It was brilliant. Yeah, I really did learn what I needed to know. I already had a basis for the exam, but the bits that had changed, they really, really showed us in a very clear way. So I left with a lot more knowledge than I went with.
Did you make notes while you were there?
I did, but there is always a handout. So they sent everything by email afterwards. I think there were actual pieces of paper going around as well if you wanted to take some of them. So very, very professional, as you would expect with Cambridge, I guess. And they had nice biscuits.
I do like a good biscuit at conference.
Yeah.
That's a chance for you to stand around, chat with people and say, oh, I don't know if you've tried these biscuits, but they're very nice. And then you start a conversation and say, so do you teach exams too? Where do you work? And then you can start chatting with all the other attendees.
Nice. nice. Yes, I did make a few connections there.
Are there any memorable sessions from that particular conference you went to?
Yes, there were some ways of teaching the exam parts that were quite alternative. So they used people from the audience to actually become students.
I love those participatory events.
Yes.
Where you have to participate.
Yes, it was very interactive.
Much more memorable.
Very memorable. And it was about memorizing the text, and it was ways of helping students to do that. And it was funny, it was interactive, and at the end of it, we all remembered the technique. It was a real group learning moment.
That's wonderful. So you could take that learning experience yourself and take that directly into your class and say, okay, I'm experimenting today, we're going to have a bit of fun, but this is one method that you might like to try to memorize this text or to complete this task within the exam.
Yeah.
That's great.
It's very demonstrative, showing how it should be done.
That is very useful, because you don't want it to be only theoretical. You do need a practical side to any learning experience. I think if a conference is organized well, it should cover all of the basic aspects of teaching and learning. So you should have workshops, presentations, coffee breaks.
And I think it needs to be something new and relevant, and there needs to be some hook.
Yeah, about dealing with the zeitgeist of teaching and learning.
Yeah, exactly.
Based on new scientific evidence or experience from new and also veteran teachers.
Definitely. And also from academic as well as lay person, I think. You know, just it's good to know what theoretical, very heavy topics are being discussed in the academic world, but also what people are talking about in the staff rooms as well. I mean, these conferences often do cover a whole spectrum of different influences and sources of information.
And talking of spectrums, it's really important, of course, to consider people from different backgrounds and different ways of learning languages, because there isn't one model for everybody.
And that's what James and his co-authors are all about in the Raise Up book series. It's fresh approaches and perspectives from diverse groups.
Exactly. I also have some experience of conferences, Em. I went to a couple of interesting ones. I think the one that stood out the most for me was the sessions were actually given by the teachers themselves that belonged to that school. This wasn't an international one. It was actually quite a local conference organised by a local school. And each of the teachers had prepared a session or some kind of presentation or workshop where they introduced some skill or some way of presenting the language that was just a bit different, but also really practical. So you could see how you could apply this method directly in your classes. It wasn't so theoretical that you had to think, well, how am I going to use that? But it was really practical and I enjoyed it. And I think the most memorable session, and I was really surprised about, was that at one point there was a meditation and all of the teachers sat down and we listened to a yogi with a meditation bowl, and the whole thing was really relaxing. And I think it made us reflect on the importance of also taking some time out, that teaching is all about your own mental health and your well-being. And as long as you're feeling strong and able, then you can apply your craft to your classrooms. So it was really fun. We all sat there, we listened to the bowl ringing gently. But there was a really, really funny thing that happened. While we were all chanting and deep into the meditation moment, somebody dropped a glass and it smashed. And we all jumped up out of our chairs and we were all suddenly awoken from this deep reverie of meditation. But it kind of brought us back to reality. But still, it was an interesting experience to have something that you don't really expect at a teaching conference, where everybody is sitting around and just taking a moment of reflection and, you know, really being in the moment. So that was a fun thing.
I agree. I think these are the memorable moments, definitely. And we can reflect on that from our own teaching point of view, that students will probably have the same connection to those moments that are very different and that maybe wake you up a bit. I'm not talking about the glass breaking. I'm just talking about the fact that, you know, you don't expect to go to a conference and meditate. But I agree, that would stay with you.
It was very memorable. So conferences fill teachers with so much enthusiasm and give them strategies to take straight into their classroom. The only negatives that I think I experienced was that we don't have these model students. I know often when you go to a conference, the presenting teacher gives you this strategy or this method and then and expects the student to be a standard model blank canvas on which you can teach directly. But students aren't like that. They've got many different characteristics and their personalities might influence the way they're learning and the way they express themselves. So I think that can be a hindrance sometimes when you go to a conference and you learn something and think that you can simply teach that to every one of your students. That's not always the case.
Yeah, I think you have to be realistic that you're not going to walk straight out of there and it work. But I think all these things just broaden your view and just make you think. So these, I think for me, conferences are very much about me indulging myself and focusing on what I do and thinking about my job and how I can be better. So it's like a little pause for me of, okay, well, do I want to do what this person is presenting to me and would this benefit my students? And even if I don't use the methods or the ideas, I'm still in that kind of philosophical mode of reflection. And I think it improves anyway what I'm going to do the next week or the next month. I think just listening to other teachers helps to do that.
Yes, you can feed off of their energy and you see how excited they are when they're teaching. And you're right, it could be just simply recharge your battery and you can step back in the classroom and shock your students with some cool activities and new ways of teaching and learning.
I think my students are always a bit worried when I say, oh, I went to a conference last week and ... because they're like, oh, wow, this is going to be a weird one. But it usually is a really good lesson.
Yeah, and probably as memorable for them as it was for you.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
And before we go to the last part of the show, I thought we could briefly give an overview of conferences.
Sure.
For example, why do people present at conferences?
Because they have something to say that's important, something new that maybe people don't know already, and they want to spread the knowledge.
That's right. And you could also polish your presenting skills.
That's also true.
So if you've got an idea, concept, methodology that you want to share with a group of your peers, this is a great opportunity to really buff up that shiny presentation and go ahead and present it.
It's definitely an extra feather in your cap if you've ever presented at a conference or presented anything really. But I have been approached a couple of times to present something and I've been far too scared. But I really wish I had, because I think it is a great accomplishment to do that.
Well, next time, Em, do it.
I have to. I have to just say yes.
And can you tell me, why do people attend conferences?
Because they want to learn, because they want to network, because they want some fresh ideas. Maybe they like the feeling of being part of something.
That's true. So I had a very brief look at the University of Melbourne's website and they had a really nice article, which I will put in the show notes, which is all about presenting at conferences. And it references the process, presentation types, the advantages of networking. And there are a few tips and tricks, for example, making eye contact, project confidence with your body posture, voice and movement, and also considering that hook. What do we mean by hook, Em?
The thing that gets your attention.
That's it.
That is a good article, Gav. I've read it and I really like the bit about the take home.
What's the take home, Em?
The thing that you remember, the message, so to speak.
So not just a handout, but actually the overall idea that you took from that conference. That's wonderful. So finally, here is the part of the show where we invite a teacher or learner to give us some insights into their methods of teaching or learning.
Teacher, teach me.
And we've been very lucky this time because we have Naeem. Naeem has a great Instagram account called English with Naeem, N-A-E-E-M. So check him out on Instagram, and his videos and posts are on pronunciation, similar or confusing words, how to use polite English, phrasal verbs, and he also has some collaborations with other teachers, so check them out.
Do you know the difference between hard and hardly? So hardly is an adverb, and it means almost not. For example, he could hardly speak, which means he almost could not speak. Or I can hardly believe it, which means I almost cannot believe it. On the other hand, hard could be an adverb or an adjective. It can mean that something is difficult, for example, a hard exam, or that something is not soft, like a hard rock, or putting a lot of effort and energy into something, like working hard or studying hard. So I hope that was useful. See more examples in the caption and write your examples in the comments.
That is a tricky one, isn't it, Gav? My students often make that mistake and they say, I hardly work. And they mean I work hard. It's classic error.
That's it.
And it's not often in English that things are that different, that are so similar. The meaning is totally different.
You're right. My students often make that mistake too. And also remember, it's about word order. Not I hard work, but I work hard. Or I ever hardly go to the gym, where it should be, I hardly ever go to the gym. So thanks, Naeem. It was really useful getting this tip for our listeners, readers, and followers. So don't forget, go to Naeem's Instagram at English with Naeem, where you can get loads more tips and tricks and help improve your English.
Gav.
M.
Catch you next time.
Catch you next time.